I'm going to read our scripture lesson for this morning, taken from John's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. I'm going to go ahead and tell you something. Are you listening? I'm going to sing in the sermon. I don't always do that, or even often do that. But someone reminded me you say that, but you sang the Zacchaeus song 2 weeks ago. So here's your part. Open your hymnal along with your Bible, because you're going to sing with me, because y'all don't want me singing a solo. 304 will be the hymn, and we'll sing the first verse of Easter People Raise Your Voices. But wait for my cue, would you? For now, if you have your Bibles with you, I hope you do, you'll turn over to John's story of what happened on Easter morning. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look and in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in. And he saw, and he believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look inside the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head, the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord. I do not know where they've laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" That seems to be the question of the morning. "Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I am not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious God, I pray for this time of worship, for all that's already happened, from bells ringing, to processions in, to hymns, to choir anthems, to scripture. We pray, Lord, now, as we settle in and look for a word of hope in these words, that you would deliver it for us. And I pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. I realize this morning there are some people in attendance who may be visiting, and you've not heard me preach before. So I want to say this. I rarely sing in sermons. So please come back. Please come back. But I feel like today I wanted to sing some Easter songs. We already have. And now, with the backing of my choir and the presence of my congregation, if you would turn to 304 so that I don't have to sing by myself, My dad always said, you're good in the choir, not much of a soloist. So. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Let's do it. It is Easter, and I find myself wanting to sing the Easter songs today more than ever. It is Easter. It is the day that we know for sure that death does not have the last word. It is the day when we proclaim that life has the last word, and it is a lasting word. Today, millions of Christians will gather in places to worship their Savior, in churches of all shapes and sizes. Some got up with the sun today to worship. Others are in small churches in small towns. Others in large cathedrals in major cities. Some in fellowship halls. Some in worship centers. Some in even rented spaces as their church is getting up off its feet. We all will sing the same song today. We will all sing about the simple message. Christ the Lord is risen. You know what to do. He is risen indeed. Today we will say that life is stronger than death and that stones and tombs cannot keep our Savior in. Today we sing the Christmas songs. In our first service we sang about the glorious day. Sopranos, altos, tenors, and basses. And choir members and congregations saying, Christ the Lord is risen today. It's quite the celebration. I want to tell you, I've been in ministry 31 years as a pastor. And for seven of those years, I did not preach on Easter Sunday. For four of those years, I was an associate pastor. Associate pastors don't preach on Easter Sunday. 3 years, I was attendant, and I realized when I preached a couple of years ago, after all that, I miss preaching on Easter. I love the simple message. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. It's more than a message, though. It's the atmosphere. It's about all of this. It's about songs and sermons and families and flowers. It's about believing. It's about believing that Jesus is alive and is right here in the middle of our celebration today. That's what it's all about. I want to tell you, after 6 weeks of getting ready, after stormy weather and tornado sirens and the death of my mother and my father-in-law, I'm saying more than ever, it's Easter. It's Easter. Thank God. It's Easter. The atmosphere here is not the same as it was on that first Easter Sunday. You will remember the story. It comes in two scenes. So let's take them in order. In the first one, Mary Magdalene makes her way in those pre-dawn hours to prepare the body of Jesus properly. There wasn't time to do that after all that happened on Friday. She gets there. And the stone that is supposed to be there has been rolled away. We know what she doesn't yet know. We've been to this tomb before, right? I mean, I've been 57 times. I don't remember the first few, but I have been to the tomb 57 times. We know that Jesus' body has not been taken. Amen? We know that. We stand on this side of the cross. We know of God's power over death. And if you don't mind me doing this today, if you don't mind the preacher coming out at me this morning, let me say this. Could it be that the power of the Easter message is not that Jesus' body is missing in action?
Could it be that it is time for us to know the power of His resurrection? Amen?
Amen.
If you look at the letters of Paul, the Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the Philippians while he is in jail in Rome. He asked the jailer, could I have some papyrus and a quill pen and some ink? And he writes words. He writes words. He has more to say. He has more churches he wants to start, but he doesn't think he'll see the end of the prison cell. And so he writes this, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Me too. How about you? I do. Jesus spent His time in our world telling us that He came to give us life and to give it to us in abundance. John 10:10 tells us that. Time after time, story after story, Jesus tells someone to get up and to go on their way and be healed. There was a man who was lying on a mat for 38 years. Can you imagine that? Some of you aren't even 38 years old. He'd been on there that whole time. And Jesus says, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. You know what? He did. He did. And he went on his way. There was a man who was living in a graveyard. Can you imagine that? Living in a graveyard among the stones and the tombs. Can you imagine that? Our Bible calls him the demoniac. Jesus says to him, get up, go home to your family, and tell them what the Lord has done. You know what he did? He got up, he went to his family, and he told them what the Lord has done. Could it be that Jesus today is telling us the same kind of thing? Get up, get up. Get out of the beds that you put yourself in and walk. Get up. Your life is not over. Get up. Whatever has kept you down, don't let it do so anymore. You are not locked in. You are not trapped. You are not burned out. You are not fenced in. You are not stuck. Jesus says, I came to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. Natalie Sleeth wrote a great hymn for our church. And she wrote it about the resurrection while she was watching her husband die of cancer. And she wrote this line, there's a dawn in every darkness bringing hope to you and me. Powerful song. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. How about you? Look back at Mary. She didn't know this power yet. All she knows is that the body of Jesus is not where it's supposed to be. She thinks someone has taken it, stolen it. For her, it must be insult on top of injury. The stone has been moved, the tomb is empty, and the body of Jesus that she had come to properly bury was missing. John's gospel tells us that she ran to tell Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, probably John, right? To the tomb to see if what she said could possibly be true. And they were there, and they looked in. And the Bible says they went back to their homes, and they left Mary there weeping. That's the second scene. She's right there weeping. There's an angel at his head, or where it had been, and at his feet, and they ask, why are you weeping? Well, why not? Why not? I mean, have you been paying attention to what's going on? If you are a friend of Jesus, you know what happened in Jerusalem. You know what the news has said. Evil is running rampant. Death is winning. Just a few weeks ago, Jesus talked about a world. Are y'all with me? A world where lions and lambs live together. A world where enemies become friends and they dine together. A world where servants don't wash master's feet, but masters wash servants' feet, where there's plenty of food and plenty of compassion to go around. All of that. And now Mary thinks that's over. It's done. The disciples do too. But that's not the end. Amen?
Amen.
It's just the beginning, and that's what today is all about. With one word, her name, Mary goes from weeping to witnessing. She runs to the disciples and she throws herself into the room and says, I have seen the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's quite the story to tell, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the greatest story we've ever heard. On this Easter Sunday, I want you to do what Mary did. I want you to tell others that Jesus is alive. Let me close with a story. I love this story. Someone asked me after the first service, is it true? Well, yeah, all the stories I tell are true. All the preacher stories are true. It's about a woman named Edith who loved to meet people, and she introduced herself in this way. Hi, my name is Edith. Do you believe in Easter? That's how she introduced herself to everybody. Hi, my name is Edith. Do you believe in Easter? A little strange, maybe, right? But when people said, well, yes, then she would ask them, tell me what's your favorite part? And they'd have a conversation. Edith found herself in a hospital near the end of her life. She was there. She was being tended to by nurses and doctors, and people were taking good care of her. And anyone who came into her room, she would introduce herself, and she would say, hi, my name is Edith. Do you believe in Easter? And if they said yes, then she would ask the second part, what's your favorite part of Easter? There was a woman, a nurse named Phyllis. Phyllis was going through a hard time spiritually and emotionally. She was just having a rough season. And she went into Phyllis went into Edith's room every day as a part of her daily routine, but she never asked Phyllis her Easter question. So one day, Phyllis says, Edith, everyone who comes in here, from the ones who clean the room to your doctors, you ask them, do you believe in Easter? But you never asked me that question. Why not? Edith says, because God told me to wait until you brought it up. And so she says, hi, my name is Edith. Do you believe in Easter? And Phyllis melted. Instead of turning away from God, which she had for so long, she turned towards God. It was wonderful. A few days later, Edith died, ironically, on an Easter Sunday morning. And Phyllis was there. And when all her part of the job was over, she went to the nurse's lounge, and she did something she never thought she would ever do. There was a new nurse working there who was drinking a cup of coffee. And Phyllis said, hi, my name is Phyllis. Do you believe in Easter? I do. How about you? What's your favorite part? Amen.